Attention all shoppers. Attention all shoppers.
Shopping mall. I wouldn't care about the isolation. I'm unconcerned about the Walking Dead. It's the end of the world.
Hey folks, Widget Walls here. Needcoffee.com podcast for your 9/26 heads up information. I know we're extremely tardy on this, but we have now recovered from. We have now, like I'm talking about a royal we, good God. We are feeling better. Thank you, my royal subjects, all three of you. We're doing much better now, so we're trying to make a push and catch up along with everything else that we've got to do. It sucks when you get behind, right? Because then you've got to maintain so you don't get further behind and yet turn around and do your backlog as well. So suck factor is high, but let's go ahead and jump into it with stuff of interest that streeted the week of 9/26. Not necessarily the day, the 26th of September, but close enough. First thing up from Harper Audio, Neil Gaiman's got a new audiobook out called Fragile Things, which is basically another collection of short fiction. And for those of you who have not heard Neil read, this you really should grab this and honestly any of his other audiobooks that he's put out, and that would include Warning Contains Language is one that Dreamhaven Books put out. Also, there's his own audio collection that Harper put out. He reads Stardust, which is also good. Two Plays for Voices, which was actually a dramatization, but still quite good. Basically, if you haven't had a chance to hear Neil read, you should do so some way. He's an incredible reader. I've actually had the privilege of hearing him, I think, three times. Live, twice in San Diego and once here in Atlanta back in 1998 when he was here for World Horror Con. And he's always excellent. So you should grab this. It's got a novella that's basically a sequel continuation of American Gods. There's also some things in there. The Baby Cakes, which we just recently posted. Someone had done an adaptation of that. That's in there along with one of my favorite bits, The End, and something I posted to the GabFest the other day, which I didn't even realize at the time I was doing it is on here, which was the day the saucers came, the day the flying saucers came, actually. But anyway, so it's quite good. That's from Harper Audio, and you should pick it up. And gleefully, it's unabridged, so very happy about that. Okay, from Hatchet Audio, we've got Jewtopia from Brian Fogel and Sam Wolfson, and it's read by the two of them, along with Jackie Tone. And I believe that's Tone, T-O-H-N. You know how I am with last names. But basically, I love this. First of all, and you'll see this when I post the cover art, but they're basically lighting cigarettes off of a menorah. And the subtitle is The Chosen Audiobook for the Chosen People. Quite nice. But basically, they have a play called Jewtopia, and this is the book that has spun out of that. And basically, it's their helpful guide to Judaism. And just to give you an idea, a brief snippet of what you're going to be looking at here, one of the things, my favorite thing off the back here is A Guide to the Jewish Bachelor Party. Questions to ask the stripper include, have you considered putting $2 from every lap dance into an interest-bearing savings account? So you can see where this is going. So anyway, that's Jewtopia from Hatchet Audio. Quite amusing stuff there. So we go from the amusing to the schmaltz, Nicholas Sparks and his audiobook of Message in a Bottle. This is read by Kathleen Quinlan. You might remember her from, she's been on a lot of things, but I always remember her as Patricia Keneally from The Doors, and I hope it's Keneally. God, what is it with me and names? Anyway, but this is Message in a Bottle, and you might recall that this was Kathleen Quinlan. Did I say the other name? I don't think it's the other name. Bruce Boxleitner. Ah. But basically, this is, if you recall, the Kevin Costner movie that came out, and for those who didn't see the movie, which is probably a lot of my listeners, basically this woman finds a bottle on the beach with a letter in it that this guy had written, and she decides to go in search of the backstory behind the letter. And it's Nicholas Sparks, and God bless him because he's making more money than I am. But it is schmaltz. So, you know, if you do listen to this, I promise not to tell anyone. Couple of fun bits here. This is from Harper Audio. This is The Secret Order of the Gum Street Girls. And it's by Elise Primavera and performed by Colleen Delaney. And, you know, as I'm looking this over, I kind of see where they're going with this. Let me just read you the first paragraph. I can't even talk. Off the back of this thing and see if you agree with me. Check this out. It says, beware faint of heart. It could be that you were expecting a story about girls who are terrific friends and always there for one another. Maybe you are expecting to read about their light-hearted adventures. I'm sorry to disappoint you, but there will be no light-hearted adventures. What's worse, the girls on Gum Street didn't like each other at all. So the tone of that basically suggests to me, honestly, Lemony Snicket, who's always telling people, you know, I'm sorry, you're going to be disappointed by what you're reading, and if you're looking for this, you should look elsewhere. But it kind of sounds like, and they go to all these magical lands and stuff, so it kind of sounds like Lemony Snicket meets Narnia for girls. When there's nothing wrong with that, but that kind of seems like to me where it's going. And again, when we get these things in for heads up, folks, I haven't had a chance to look at all of them. As you can see, we've got... How many things have we got on the list here? Yeah, we've got about, you know, 20 titles on here. So there's not enough hours in the day to hit them, because sometimes these things are coming in, you know, the day before we do these things. And normally we probably wouldn't have this much, because honestly, some of this stuff came in after 9:26, but I'm fitting it in here so that we can get it out there to you. But anyway, so I have not cracked it open. That's my initial response to this, but you know, looks cute. Who knows? It's from Harper Children's Audio. And again, unabridged, gotta like that. Then something that I know that our readers will be interested in, it is another Terry Pratchett book, Winter Smith, and it's performed by Stephen Briggs. Also unabridged, thank you. But basically, this is kind of one of the Discworld, I don't want to say spinoff series, but basically Tiffany Aching, who is a young witch. And this is her third book. She was originally in We Free Men, which I think we featured at some point, and A Hatful of Sky. This is the third one. And Wintersmith is basically the personification of winter, who has a bit of a crush on our heroine. And you can just imagine how that's going to work out. Kind of warm-blooded mammal witch with winter. Kind of, you know, a match made in Hades. But anyway, so this is, like I said, it's unabridged, and Stephen Briggs, who has done a lot of the Discworld books, is the one reading it. So if you're a fan of Pratchett, you're going to want to pick this up. Now, as far as books go, we've got just one here, and it's based on the Blizzard game Diablo, and this is the Sin War Book 1 Birthright, and that's by Richard A. Knack, and I'm fairly certain it's Knack, K-N-A-A-K. And basically, this sounds like, I don't know, your typical, and again, I've never played Diablo. I don't know much about the game, honestly. I don't have time to play games, as you can see from, I have no site. Don't ever become a webmaster, because you don't have any time for anything. While, you know, your staff gets to go play video games or have a life, you are, you're up at 6 in the morning on Sunday recording a podcast. So just, you know, shoot me. Anyway, so this is, this kind of sounds like, you know, so I don't know if this is the basic, the generic background for the game, but it's talking about, you know, heaven and hell going at it on Earth as their battlefield, which we've seen, you know, time and time again, and man caught in the middle. So, but basically it's, it looks like your typical quick read, you know, pulp kind of read that's based on, not pulp as in, you know, the Phantom and, you know, Shadow and stuff like that, but you know what I mean, kind of dime novel type of thing that you could pick up if you're a fan of the game itself. But, you know, I say that, the book, but they've got, you know, multiple Diablo books out there. So if you're a fan of the series or the game, then there you go. And this comes out from Pocket Books. Okay, so next up we've got, from Keith Jarrett, his Carnegie Hall concert. And the name didn't ring a bell. I was looking at the album when it came in, the CD when it came in, and I was like, I should know who this is. Who is this? And, you know, I did some checking, and he had played with Miles. And I was like, oh, okay, so I've heard this guy. So he used to play keyboard for Miles Davis. So I was like, oh, okay, that's probably where I've seen the guy's name before. But apparently he's had this huge career, mostly from doing improvisations, and he's done this big ass concert, this two disc concert from 2005. So this ECM Records release is for you if you enjoy Jarrett's work or piano solos or basically anything that's a fusion of different musical styles. So like I said, this one just came in, so I have not had a chance to pop it in. But you know, after hearing that he's a veteran of multiple groups and along with working with Miles, then I can't wait to pop this in myself. For me and my classics, we've also got something a little different. It's Paul McCartney, but this time it's an orchestral composition called, and Dindrain is going to, she's wincing even as I say this, but it's, I can't even say it, Ecce Cor Meum. It's been so long since I had college choir where we sang in Latin, and basically even though we didn't know what the hell we were saying, they at least taught us how to pronounce this stuff. I am so sorry, Professor. But anyway, it's basically Behold My Heart. And like I said, that's from EMI Classics, and it's his third classical composition for an orchestra. And if you're a fan of the man himself, and I don't see how you couldn't be, you know, people give Paul a lot of shit, and I don't exactly know why. I mean, hell, here's why you have to respect Paul McCartney, okay? Paul McCartney is, to my knowledge, and there may be some other musicians, but I don't think they're as well known. And you know, maybe jazz musicians do this all the time, frankly, but it's kind of hard to tell. It's a lot harder to tell with him. But basically with Paul, you could have stuff like a bunch of like three or four different songs that he only had like a verse written of, and he could smash them all together and it would be great. I mean, you know, We're So Sorry, Uncle Albert, Admiral Halsey is like my favorite song ever. And it's like, it's a medley of stuff that he just couldn't finish, you know, as separate songs. But I love it. So that's Paul McCartney. So you got to respect a man who can pull that off, right? So anyway, so for those who are fans, you should check out his classical stuff. This is from EMI Classics. And again, it's, and I'm butchering it again, but I'm sorry, Ecce Cor Meum. And I know that Dan is going to just post this, you know, tirade, so I'm sorry. We've also got from Sony Legacy the Mirrorball Complete Concert from Sarah McLachlan. And basically what this is if you recall, there was a live album that was released before that was simply Mirrorball that had 14 tracks on it. This has a total of 23. So it's basically everything that they had on the Mirrorball album and then some. So consider this the special edition, naturally. It also comes with a 28-page booklet. So if you're fans of Sarah McLachlan, you're going to want to pick this up, and hopefully you sold your single disc version back when the UCD stores were taking it, and that's from Sony Legacy. Now, over to DVDs, and here is one that I am very excited about because, as you know, I've been going on and on and on and on about Halloween, but this was one that when I saw this come across, I was like, I have got to have this. And this is from Mondo Macabro, and it is the Bollywood Horror Collection, Volume 1. Can you believe it? And yes, they are full-on Bollywood horror movies. And for people who don't know, if you have never seen a Bollywood movie, okay, Bollywood for the uncultured among you are films from India. And basically, it is of a particular bent. They usually last about 3 hours, okay? They always have comic relief, okay? There's always a love triangle between a guy and two girls, okay? And of course, it's like, and I'm saying they always, but I'm generalizing, but pretty much you can look and you see a pattern of this. It's like, you know, it's like a poetic form, you know what I mean? You can do variations on it, but it pretty much always follows, you know, you can recognize, you know, poems by their form, even though they've been played with a little bit. But so you got the love triangle, there's always a, you know, fights, okay? And they are always musicals. And if you've ever, you know, for some reason at Indian restaurants, they always play like the Indian music video channel. And so you see these things that look like music videos. Those aren't music videos, okay? Those are taken directly from the films. And you really do owe it to yourself to watch some of these because they are amazing. They have some of the best costumes. A lot of the music is just unbelievable, and the women are amazing. So, Dave Doss is one, Ashoka is another, oh crap, the Lagan, yes, Lagan, the one about cricket. And I know you're like, huh? But trust me, you need to go find one of those and start with Dave Doss, because that's basically where I started. I got a review up here anyway. But so I, and from what I understand, these are basically that, but they're horror movies. So what I was told is that they are musicals too. So Bollywood musicals, all right, with horror, with, and there's like Indian Dracula looking dude on the cover. And I can't wait for Halloween to break this out so I can watch this, because it looks like a total freak show. I mean, and I say that with all respect for the genre, because I freaking love the genre. It's just so hard to find, 3 hours. But I have a, a very good friend of mine who tells me that, the reason that American films don't do well in India is because they feel gypped, because they come out after, an hour and 40 minutes and they're like, whatever, and there's no songs or anything. So it doesn't matter what it is, there's songs in it. So horror movies, there's songs in it. God, I can't wait. So anyway, so there's that. Oh, and that's the other thing. Bollywood is the largest film industry in the world. Kicks Hollywood's ass. Okay? So there you go. Anyway, so I didn't mean to spend so much time on that, but I'm so excited. Bollywood Horror Collection. Next up, we got one from Universal, The Book of Daniel, the complete series. And I'm sure you all know about this. It's Aidan Quinn, who we like. And basically, he's a minister who is, has family problems, issues with his relatives, and talks to Jesus. So I don't know why they, why was this canceled? I wonder. But Jesus, it's no pun intended. Great cast with Aidan and James Rebhorn and Ellen Burstyn, who is just amazing. But again, I don't watch television. I wait for it to come out on DVD because I simply don't have time. But I actually do want to watch this. But basically, it's I don't know what they were thinking, how they would thought they would get away with this. Maybe on cable, but on NBC, I mean, that's ballsy. So basically, that's the Book of Daniel. That's out from Universal, and it's got 4 episodes that never aired on television because they probably were receiving too many threats, and it comes with deleted scenes as well. Next up, we've got from Palm, City of Men, the complete series, and this is 19 episodes. And basically, if you looked at the cover art at all, you're basically going, I don't know, it looks like City of God. And it is. It's from the people who brought you City of God, okay, the acclaimed feature film. And basically, this is about 2 13-year-old kids who are growing up in this dilapidated town around Rio. And it's basically a comedy drama, coming of age type of thing. And it's subtitled English subtitles. So if you enjoyed City of God, then you're going to want to check this out from Palm, because it's not, of course, not a sequel or anything, but it's got that same feel, but a little bit more set up for television, obviously. But anyway, so that's City of Men from Palm. Okay, we got a pair of Stephen King films here to talk about, and basically we're looking at The Dead Zone and Pet Sematary, both out in special collector's editions. These are both from Paramount. And it's surprising that they haven't come out with and I don't believe they have, but a Dead Zone like Uber edition, because the series is doing so well for USA, and Anthony Michael Hall has a career again. I mean, how cool is that? How can you not like Anthony Michael Hall, right? And so basically, you've got the young Christopher Walken, you've got a younger Martin Sheen. And an excellent film. And this honestly is one, probably my favorite Stephen King book, actually, just from a book standpoint. I can read Salem's Lot over and over again. I love The Stand. I love The Dark Tower. But just as a full, just from a just all around reading pleasure standpoint, I just love The Dead Zone. And I know that's weird, because it's not everybody's favorite. But basically, you've got some new bonus stuff. Kind of a retrospective, a couple of featurettes, the Politics of the Dead Zone featurette, which should be fascinating, and the trailer. As far as Pet Sematary goes, which this is actually the first Stephen King book that I ever read, honestly. And I picked it up because I went to the dentist, and it was going to be some ridiculous wait. And I was like, well, damn, I need something to read. So, and this was, I was in high school, and probably at the time, because I couldn't drive until I was senior because I was just a moron. I got my mom to take me to the bookstore, and I'd seen all these kids at school reading Pet Sematary. So I'll try that. And so I picked up Pet Sematary, my first Stephen King book, and read it, and basically then went to the used bookstore and snagged every single one I could find because I was like, this is awesome. And I actually finished the book. And for those, I won't say anything for those who haven't read the book, but I actually finished the book at, in the middle of the night in my room alone and was just like, damn. So I was actually pleased by the film version of this. I thought it did quite well. The ending, they could have done a little bit better with the ending, but I understand, taking it to the big screen. But basically this one comes with a commentary from the director, Mary Lambert, and has a couple of two or three featurettes, and that's about it. But like I said, I enjoyed the film and loved the book. And not bad for a book that he tried to toss because he thought it was just too intense, right? Next up from Acorn Media, we've got 11th Hour, which is, it looks like, it doesn't say the complete series, but I'm thinking it is. Dun dun! Quick edit as he checked Wikipedia. The magic of podcasting. This is 11th Hour, and it's from like I said, Acorn Media, and it's starring Patrick Stewart. So when you got Patrick Stewart's face on the cover, and what, Jesus Christ, I'm holding up, I wish you could see me, I'm holding up the DVD that I'm holding towards the microphone like it was a camera. I am an idiot, okay? But that shows how tired I am, and I really, honestly, I haven't had that much in the way of stimulants, so take that for whatever it's worth. Anyway, so Patrick Stewart's on here really big. You're just gonna have to believe me, and so it's four episodes, and it's kind of like they're mini TV movies for each one, and basically Stewart and I did pop this one in because I'm like science based whodunit CSI looking thing with Patrick Stewart, count me in. But basically, so he is like the government's top science guy who they bring in when something sciency is happening, and they're like it needs to be investigated and probably stopped. And great premise, but I think part of the problem with the execution is we always hear about stuff coming over from the UK and not translating well. I've heard that The Office is an exception, but I mean, if you look at what happened with Coupling, but you know what I'm talking. I mean, we've looked at and Coupling, which was weird because the original Coupling was kind of like a trying to bring Friends over, and Friends, I think, was like a translation. But anyway, I don't know. I get so lost. And then it became a musical, and then it was a breakfast cereal. And I don't know. But anyway, but we always hear about stuff coming this way across the, this towards us across the Atlantic and screwing up. But this, I don't think this works. And the reason is, the premise and everything looks interesting, but it's like they tried to take all of the flashiness of CSI and bring it to the UK, and just there's a little bit too much of it. I mean, there's a scene that where it finally struck me was there's a scene where they're out in the field and Stewart's been looking over this this stuff that they've found, this bad thing that's happening, and he's standing like at the driver's side door of an SUV, and all of a sudden there's this cut to a shot from the ground looking up. So you can see him and the person he's talking to, like a worm's eye view. And then if you look straight up, there's like a passenger jet passing overhead. And I'm like, what is that for? What does that mean? And I didn't mean to, I'm not trying to overanalyze that particular shot, but it was just jump cuts and weird angles and stuff like that to the point where I was distracted, by that shot. And going, I can't even pay attention to what the hell is happening because of this. So anyway, looks like an interesting premise, and it looks like it just started this year. So there's no telling; it might come back for another series later. But I don't know. Patrick Stewart. Anything with him, it's got to be at least worth watching at least once. So that's Acorn Media 11th Hour. So the film we talked about a lot in Widge Goes Off, as far as Universal and their taking things to direct to video, Tokyo Drift, the Fast and the Furious, the third movie. Which, they couldn't get either of the stars back from the first two films. So, because basically, and it's like I've mentioned before, this is simply automotive porn, Okay, this is for those of you who are heavy into cars to drool over cars. That's pretty much it. So that's why they released it to the big screen, is so you could go and the people who like car porn went and watched it on the big screen. So that's basically what it is. So for this one, you've got deleted scenes. You've got a featurette on the customization of the cars, an on-location featurette, and a commentary, plus other stuff. But basically, if you enjoyed the franchise, all right, and you like cars, then you're going to want to pick this up because, there's going to be a fourth one. And like I said, the only interesting thing will be whether they bring it direct to video or it actually plays for a couple of weekends in the cinema. And that's out, of course, from Universal. Next up from Bandai and Manga Entertainment, we've got the seventh volume of Ghost on the Shell Standalone Complex, the second gig, the season two. And it's the wrap of the second season. It comes with three episodes and extras, which is always nice on an anime release, as Dindrain, I'm sure, would agree. But you've got an interview with the director and with a couple of members of the vocal cast. So if you're a fan of Ghost in the Shell and want to check out the new series, then this is your chance to grab it. And I'm sure, because it's Bandai, they'll probably have a box set coming out later. But if you can't wait, go ahead and pick it up. And that's from, again, Bandai and Manga Entertainment. One of only two titles from Warner Brothers that we have that are streaming for 9/26, and it's the first season of Mama's Family, which if well, everyone watched Mama's Family. I mean, it couldn't be helped. It's the spinoff from the Carol Burnett show and that skit that Vicki Lawrence originated on there, which is just hilarious. But you've got Ken Berry in the cast as well, and Carol Burnett shows up to play her daughter, and it's classic stuff. There's no bonus features on here, but you do get 13 episodes across the two-disc set. And, for fans of the show, you're going to want to pick it up, especially if you want to see the resulting, seasons after this one, since sales drive everything. So fans, grab it. This is from Warner Brothers. So Paramount has put out a special collector's edition of Save the Last Dance. This is with Julia Stiles. And basically they are putting this out because Save the Last Dance 2, if it's not already streamed, is right around the corner. So, and of course, there is the obligatory sneak peek to the sequel in this. And again, Paramount's doing the same thing because I believe, I'm fairly certain, Save the Last Dance 2 is a direct-to-video. So, yeah, I'm fairly certain because it would have registered as a blip on box office when we were talking on the Widget Goes Off podcast. So basically, it's the age-old story of the dancer with a classical background who gets into a situation in which she learns to dance with a little bit more abandon, shall we say. So this, the special edition, comes with a director's commentary, making of, basically choreographer's featurette, writer's featurette, retrospective deleted scenes, and of course the aforementioned sneak peek. So, fans of dancing movies, which there are some, and young girls are probably going to want to get this. And we've always said that young girls are a very powerful buying demographic. So there is that for them. Also from Warner Brothers, we have Season 1, Volume 1 of Whose Line Is It Anyway? And basically, bear in mind that there are two different versions of this, and the one we have, of course, is the uncensored one, because there is no other one to have. And basically, you've got, of course, Drew Carey is the host for this one. This is the American version, mind you. Hopefully, at some point, we'll get the British version, so that we can see all of that goodness. But you've got Ryan Stiles, Colin Mochrie, Wayne Brady, Greg Proops, and Kathy Kinney appears on here as well. And it's uncensored. So all the stuff that they couldn't get away with on television, they now have here. And if you've seen any of the bits, whether on YouTube or actually watched it, I know a lot of people who watched it. Me in television, right? I've been waiting for this. Then you know that they are out of their freaking minds, okay? So you've got 10 episodes, right? Over two discs. You got outtakes and gag reels. Now, my opinion on this is, how in the hell from this, what could possibly be an outtake or gag reel worthy material from these guys? So to me, that's worth the price of admission right there. So anyway, if you're a Whose Line fan, an improv fan, you're going to want to pick this up from Warner Brothers. It is out. And last but not least, another one from Paramount and also from Comedy Central. And this is something that I'm really looking forward to. It's called Windy City Heat. And I haven't had a chance to crack this open, but it is the uncensored director's cut. And basically, it's this guy who lands a role in a movie, but what he does not know is that it's all a practical joke. There's no movie, there's no role, there's nothing. The whole thing is a big gag on this guy. So basically, You've got Bobcat Goldthwait is in here, Jimmy Kimmel, Adam Carolla, Dane Cook, Carson Daly, who we don't speak of. But basically, they're all in on this to try and help pull a, you know, screw up this guy by making him think he's in a movie. And so you've got basically video of him watching the movie for the first time and realizing that he's been had. There's commentary from the guy, audio and video commentary from the guy. What a great sport. Deleted and extended scenes and more. So we just got this in. I have not had a chance to crack it open. It looks absolutely ridiculous. And if it's half as funny as they're making it out to be, then I'm sure it's going to be, like I said, just ridiculous, redonkulous, as the man might say. So anyway, that's it. That's it. Thank you for hanging in there for the 926 heads up. As always, attached to this post, for those of you who downloaded through iTunes, feel free to go to Need Coffee and search for either the Heads Up category or the Podcasts category, and you'll find cover art. You can click on that cover art to buy from Amazon any of the bits that you've heard about on here, and if you do that, we get kickbacks, and we do appreciate that. It is very helpful. And you know, even if you don't see anything on Amazon from 926, you can click through to Amazon and buy whatever you want. We still get kickbacks on it. Or if you want to see what we're currently recommending, then you can go to, if you look on the front page there, scroll down a bit, there is an Amazon search box there, and there is our Amazon store. So if you click on that link, it'll show you about 9 items, and I understand in November they're going to increase that to over 50. That we are currently recommending that you snag. So anyway, please do so and buy copiously and often and tell your friends. And so we'll have the 10-3 podcast here shortly, Honest Engine, and then we'll be in good shape for the 10-10 podcast coming this week, and we might actually get back on track and be able to post some of the other shit that we're behind on. What a deal. So anyway, thanks everybody for listening, and as always, if you have any feedback, please let me know at widgesucks@needcoffee.com, and we will talk to you shortly. Thanks, and bye.
Maybe we shouldn't be in such a hurry to leave.